The Utah legislature looks at a bill that would delay the start date for Utah's guest worker program. The so-called Zion Curtain may be coming down. KUER's Dan Bomas takes a look at how Utah's industries are contributing to air pollution. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, February 28th. I'm Brian Grimmett. A state Senate committee voted yesterday to push back the start date for Utah's guest worker program by 2 years to give Congress a chance to work on comprehensive immigration reform. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
Utah's guest worker program was set to go into effect this July, but Republican Senator Kurt Bramble of Provo introduced Senate Bill 225 to postpone the implementation until 2015. Bramble says Utah's guest worker law was designed to pressure the federal government into reforming the immigration system.
We, the states of the United States, have taken sufficient action to get Congress's attention, and we've heard from our federal delegation that they will be acting. This will give 2 more years for Congress to actually do their job, but there is encouraging rhetoric coming from Washington that they're intending to act.
The bill passed out of the Senate Business and Labor Committee 5-1. Republican Senator David Hinkins of Orangeville opposed the extension, saying the guest worker program should go forward this July to challenge the federal government on the issue of immigration reform. SB 225 now heads to the Senate for consideration. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
A couple of alcohol-related bills managed to make their way through House committees yesterday, including one that would eliminate Utah's so-called Zion Curtain. HB 228 eliminates provisions in Utah law that requires restaurants to keep open liquor bottles and the actual mixing of drinks out of public sight. Republican Representative Gage Froer voted in favor of the bill. He says the current law is an unnecessary obstacle.
We are hurting tourism. We're hurting business. I think most of us, if we had the obstacles in front of us for the businesses that we operated, the restaurants, dining clubs, anybody that serves alcohol with food in this state, we would long ago have passed meaningful legislation.
Later in the day, the House Business and Labor Committee unanimously supported Republican Representative Kurt Oda's bill that allows beer wholesalers to transport individual containers of heavy beer, or beer with alcohol content greater than 4%, directly to restaurants and bars. With his vote in favor of the bill, Republican Representative Dixon Pitcher had only good things to say.
There is no downside. It's all positive. It's all good. It makes for a better product. It's expeditious. It saves money, and I think it also... possibly might mean a savings to the customer, too. I don't know, but good bill.
Currently, the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control serves as a middleman for heavy beer distribution, and they lack the proper refrigeration storage needed, which leads to poor quality product. Brian Grimmett, KUER News.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Terry Gilday. The air pollution that we can see suspended in the cold air trapped during Utah's infamous temperature inversions is called PM2.5. Particulate matter 2.5 microns in diameter or smaller. Just how much of that comes from large industrial polluters is a subject of some dispute, along with just what should be done about it. As we begin the story, we need to disclose that KUER received some underwriting funds from Rio Tinto Kennecott Utah Copper. Those transactions are handled by our development department outside our newsroom. KUER's Dan Bomas has the third story in our series, Clearing the Air.
Water cascading through the cooling towers at the Holly Frontier Refinery in West Bountiful sends plumes of water vapor high into the air. They're visible for miles. And while these plumes are easy to see, other emissions from the plant are not. But they are contributing to the pollution that gets trapped in the valleys of the Wasatch Front for weeks at a time. Just how much industrial polluters contribute to the overall problem is disputed between activist groups and the companies they point to. An infographic published by the Utah Division of Air Quality on its website puts the number at 11%. Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment says it's closer to 30. Kathy Van Dame heads one of the newer groups, Breathe Utah. She's also a member of the Utah Air Quality Board. She says the numbers depend on which areas of the state you're looking at and which pollutants are being measured.
Putting all of the non-attainment areas together, I think it distorts, and it gives you one sheet that you can make an infographic out of that is attention-grabbing. And it's the way that information is commonly displayed now. But there are a lot of other ways that had more detail that would actually give us a better picture.
The numbers at the center of the debate come mostly from a single document, what's called the 2008 Baseline Inventory, published by the Utah Division of Air Quality. Bill Reese works in the division's planning office.
It represents a time period during which we collected some episodes of high PM 2.5 concentration. So that's helped us characterize the problem. And it also represents a recent baseline that gives us a good assessment of all the emissions in our airshed, be they point sources, mobile sources, off-road mobile sources, or area sources.
Industries like to point to a different set of numbers, how much money they've spent, and how much they've been able to reduce pollution through the years. Rio Tinto Kennecott Utah Copper, for example, is the largest industrial polluter in the Salt Lake Valley. A 1,200-foot smokestack deposits waste gases from its smelter above the level of stagnant air that gets trapped in the Salt Lake Valley in the winter, though some emissions from the stack can still be detected on the ground. Kennecott has stopped burning coal in its power plant during the winter and installed new natural gas and heat recovery systems to reduce the emissions from its operations. Kennecott environmental engineer Chris Kaiser says the company promised still more emissions reductions when it applied for permission to expand the Bingham Canyon mine.
In 2011, we were permitted to extend the life of our mine and expand our mine, and that will enable us to keep our operations in business through about 2028. And it also required us to do a lot of things to even further reduce our emissions at the mine, burning ultra-low sulfur diesel fuel, larger trucks which can move the same amount of material with less trips.
The Holly Frontier Refinery is also promising to produce more and pollute less in a recent application to the Division of Air Quality. It wants to double the plant's capacity to refine the black wax crude oil that comes from the Uinta Basin, and the Utah Division of Air Quality appears ready to grant that request. Holly's environmental manager, Mike Aston, says the company has spent more than $100 million since it bought the refinery from Phillips Conoco 10 years ago to reduce pollutants in the gasoline and diesel fuel it produces. It's also cut way back on emissions that lead to PM 2.5 particulates, the volatile organic compounds such as propane and nitrous oxides, or NOx, released at the plant itself.
The best available control technology for heaters would be what we call ultra-low NOx burners. Those are special burners that are designed to have low NOx emissions. Okay, on our largest heaters that we've proposed, we've gone beyond that. We've recommended and suggest and submitted in our application that those large heaters would have what we call selective catalytic reduction. It's actually a catalyst that you put on the emissions, and you inject ammonia into it, and that reacts in order to reduce the NOx emissions even further.
For industrial polluters on the Wasatch Front, improving their environmental records and complying with the law has been a moving target. Bill Reese with the Utah Division of Air Quality says meeting the newest federal requirement limiting PM 2.5 particulates to 35 micrograms per cubic meter of air means a big challenge for everybody, especially in the winter.
You know, the particulate matter standards and a lot of EPA standards, for that matter, have been ratcheted down over time. They get more and more stringent. We've met every one up till now. This one's pretty tight.
On the other side, critics wonder why the state of Utah is allowing industries that emit significant levels of air pollution to expand at all. Obstetrician Kirtley Parker Jones was among those who testified at the DAQ hearing on the Holly refinery expansion.
The refineries can only be offered opportunities to make money and give jobs when they can show us that they're close to zero emissions, and then they can talk about expansion.
This year's repeated inversions have kept the focus on air quality and on industrial polluters. The community will have to answer the question, is their economic contribution worth the environmental degradation they cause? Dan Bamas, KUER News. Representatives of all the firefighting agencies in Utah were honored at the legislature yesterday. HCR 4 is sponsored by Representative Joel Briscoe, a Democrat from Salt Lake City. But it was Republican Spencer Cox of San Pete County who talked about being with a volunteer fire crew outside Fairview last summer as they tried to stop the huge Wood Hollow fire.
We watched as the wind blew the flames and smoke. over 100 feet in the air and really enveloped a crew. And we weren't sure that everybody was going to walk out of there. And they did. And they saved approximately 40 homes that day.
Representative Briscoe says 88% of the 1,528 fires across Utah last year were put out by volunteers using just a small amount of state resources. The controversial state regulation of professional hair braiders hit some obstacles in the Utah House with the passage of HB 238 yesterday. Republican Representative James Dunnigan says even though a number of cosmetologists were not happy about this originally, a compromise for deregulation of hair braiding will be a benefit overall.
So we're giving a reasonable latitude to a person. If all they want to do is braid hair, put some accessories and beads and things like that in it, they will no longer need to have a license requirement.
Dunnigan says the bill also lowers the number of hours required to obtain a cosmetology license in Utah from the current 2,000 hours of training to 1,600. He says that's comparable to other states. He also recognized much of the work done on the bill by former state representative Holly Richardson.
A judge has ordered two defenders in an identity fraud case to stand trial. The Utah Attorney General's office says Yat-Zin Lee and Chenglong Kong were among four people who rented a car in Las Vegas last May and spent the next 2 days visiting Target stores around Utah, charging up more than $80,000 on other people's accounts. One person has already pleaded guilty to identity fraud in the case, and they're still looking for the fourth suspect. Sprinklers helped keep a laboratory fire at Utah State University from spreading. Firefighters say combustible material was placed too close to a heater in a lab at USU's New College of Agriculture building. The sprinklers kept the flames confined to a single room and nobody was injured. There was a significant amount of water damage. And finally, the city of Orem has approved another $24 million in bonds to support the Utopia Internet infrastructure system. But the Salt Lake Tribune reports residents were frustrated because no council vote or public comment was allowed at the meeting on Tuesday. The city also amended its current budget to provide a $250,000 loan to the Utopia system, which began several years ago with the goal of providing ultra-high-speed data connections in member communities. Since then, it's been criticized for its increasing need for public funding. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, February 28th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Till next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.